Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I want you to think in your mind for just a moment or two how many times you'll see something in the paper. You'll get a flyer or a circular in the mail. Usually first of the month you get that little thing of junk papers, you know, all the coupons and the life insurance, this and that. Or you'll see something on TV if you can't sleep, usually about 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning. And you'll see something that says a brand new get rich quick plan. And it's real easy. You just send them $20 and they'll tell you how to get rich. Well, that's usually a scam, right? If it seems too good to be true, well, it probably is. We don't get rich just by happenstance, but we work at it. I want us to talk about getting rich tonight, but not in worldly possessions. I want to run through our New Testament and look at five different examples where the Bible says you and I can be rich, and some qualities or some aspects that come with that. So grab your New Testament, if you will, and go to the book to the church at Rome, the Roman letter, Romans 2. And verse number 4, and I want you to notice here what Paul says as he is depicting the sinful world of the Jews. He says, and he's begun asking questions in the previous verse, he says, "Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God will lead thee to repentance?" Number one, we can have riches of goodness. When we are rich in things that God wants us to be rich in, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus says, "By your fruit you shall know them." When we are working on producing these fruit, we will in turn have goodness. I think about the song that we sing from time to time, taken from the 23rd Psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That only comes when we follow and are obedient to God. We don't get goodness to us if you're out there sowing wild oats and sowing deceitfulness and wicked things in this life. We must sow, notice here, the goodness. It's God's goodness. He also has forbearance and long-suffering. Aren't you glad that God has forbearance and long-suffering? It means He suffers long. He is not willing truly that any should perish, so He gives those time to repent. But the long-suffering of God, dear friends, is going to run out one day. And at that moment, He's going to send Jesus Christ from heaven, and He's going to come back to the earth, taking vengeance on them that know not God, Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1. So God is long-suffering right now. But if there's something in your life, as Brother Troy prayed a moment ago, that is keeping you from being obedient, or keeping you from returning home and being faithful, yes, God is good. And He's the God of love, but He's also the God of severity. And His long suffering will run out. So you need to remove that barrier and be in a right relationship with Him. So number one, we see there are riches of goodness. Go to the Ephesian letter, if you will. Number two. Actually, number three will be there as well. Ephesians, the first chapter and the seventh verse. Ephesians 1. In verse 7, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He introduces that thought at the end of verse number 3. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, notice here, in whom, verse number 7, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through His, Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So number two, riches, we can have riches that involve grace. Now, I will say, our denominational friends, I think, almost beat a dead horse with riches and grace, and they'll overemphasize grace. Now, I'm not diminishing it at any part. Don't misunderstand me. We do need the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense, that's grace. When He saw fit through His infinite wisdom to send Jesus from heaven to walk along this earth for about 33 years to die upon the cross for our sins, see, that's God's grace, because Jesus took my place on the cross, even though I didn't deserve Him hanging up there. In fact, I should have been up there. But you see, God is full of his riches of grace. And people on this earth will show you grace, no doubt, but God's grace abounds and abounds and abounds far beyond anything you and I can comprehend. So we have riches of grace. Let's look at number 3 in my Bible, over a page, chapter 2, verse number 4 of Ephesians. We'll really begin with verse 1 just to get this one in context, because most of this chapter, at least for the first 7 verses, is one long thought. And you he has quickened. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, or the course of this culture, according to the prince of the powers of the air. That's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or the mindset, the will, among whom also we have had our conversation. That's our lifestyle in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now he begins another sentence, verse 7. But God, that's a change. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love wherewith he loved us. And he's going to keep that thought going. But see, God, number 3, is rich in mercy. See, in time past, before you used to walk in the way of the world, you used to live after the lifestyle, the culture, the... Well, everybody else is doing it, so why don't I? Right? That's what the sinner does. They just go with the flow. And they don't really care where they wind up. They're just coasting in life, the alien sinner. Well, God is rich in mercy. For his great love, he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us. He made us alive by Christ. See, in Christ, we are recipients of God's rich mercy, giving us something that we don't deserve, and holding something back from us that we do deserve. Because of my sins, Romans 3:23, I have sinned. Romans 6:23, I'm deserving of death. But the mercy of God holds that back from me, and his grace allowed Jesus to die in my place. So we have riches of goodness, of grace, of mercy. Go to the end of Philippians, if you will, just a page or two over. Philippians chapter 4. Well, almost the end, verse 19, 5 verses short. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And I want you to notice this personal relationship that Paul exemplifies. But my God, he doesn't just say God, but my God, a very personal letter, talks about a personal relationship. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ, or by Christ Jesus. God has riches, I should say, of glory. You know, he's in heaven, which is the most glorious place you and I could ever think about, dream about, or ever hope to be. But hopefully, we can be there one day. Now, it's not hopefully like I'm going to play a lottery and just randomly wind up there. But I know how to live my life, becoming a Christian, remaining faithful to the very end. And I know if I take my last breath and I am faithful as a Christian, whether I have been a faithful Christian for a year or 60 years, I receive that home in glory as well. See, God is rich in glory, and thanks be to God, he shares that to us. Let's look at our last one, back to the book of Romans, where we began in Romans chapter 11, in verse 37. Well, that can't be right, because there's not a verse 37. I don't know. 33, if I could read my notes, that really helps. Romans 11 and verse 33. Notice here, and we sing this to a degree in one of our songs. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God is rich in himself. He has riches of wisdom, riches of knowledge. You know, we think we can plan accordingly. You and I can set something in motion that hopefully will pan out in 5 years, 10 years. You ever stop to think about how unsearchable the ways of God are? That God existed with the Son and the Spirit before there was ever a world. And before this orb that you and I inhabit was spoken into existence, before that happened, before let there be light, God had this ingenious idea that I'm going to create a human being. I'm going to give him a soul. I'm going to give him free will. And I'm going to give him an earth to live on. And then when everything that I have lined up perfectly will happen, I'm going to send my son down there to redeem him of his sins, that he can be obedient to me. That just boggles my mind to no end. To think that everything in the Old Testament, God planned and used different events to carry us to the light of Christ, that remnant that remained throughout the Old Testament that brought us the nation of Israel, that brought us the line of Christ through David. His wisdom is unsearchable. We couldn't even try to begin to describe. And I've heard some masterful sermons and some masterful lessons on the wisdom of God, and they all fail in comparison to just truly how rich in wisdom and how rich in knowledge He is. And thanks be to God, He lets me serve Him. So you and I, we may not get a get-rich-quick scheme or scam, as the case may be in this life. But as a Christian, I have riches of goodness that far surpass anything else this world has to offer. I have riches of grace, God's grace, infinite grace, and His mercy as well, and His glory, that I can have a home with Him in eternity, and I can just sit at His feet for unending time. I was going to say years on end, but there will be no time. So unending time, and just marvel at the goodness of His infinite wisdom. Well, I think that makes us pretty rich, don't you? And the best news of all this, none of this is taxable. So these are all spiritual blessings that are only found in Christ, but you have to be in Christ to receive these. You need to become a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, going down that watery grave, coming out a new creature. Then you remain faithful to the very end.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. I hope you've enjoyed our program thus far, talking about Want to Get Rich. If you want to listen to this program again, you can do so anytime online in its entirety at readingtheword.net, or E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Or if you need to write to us, be glad to help you out there. P.O. Box 292, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. That's my personal box. I'll be glad to send you a copy. Since our program is titled Reading the Word, and we have just about 2 minutes left, I thought we would just simply read God's Word. How shall we? Let's go to the book of Psalms. I'll be reading Psalm number 2. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree that the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put his trust in him. That's the second psalm reference there at the baptism of Christ and other places. Definitely a messianic psalm talking about Jesus Christ. I do appreciate you spending the time that you have allotted us to spend today on Reading the Word, and I do hope that we get another opportunity such as this afforded our way again very soon. Once again, readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you ever so much for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.